So thank you so much, Justine, for this, for introducing us the way you did, because today is actually a little bit of a pause. We're going to take a pause in the message, and we're going to do something that we'd like to do more often at the church in the future, and we're calling it West Side Stories. You get it? Whoa! This is where members of our congregation get a chance, and we just get a chance to pause a little bit and learn a little bit more about each other. And so today, Joe and Rebecca are joining us. Maybe you might find them a little bit familiar. Joe got baptized on Easter Sunday, so way to go, Joe. Yes. And then, Rebecca, you did get baptized in November. Maybe you'll have, can you applaud for Rebecca, too? And then Rebecca, I baptized you, then you baptized Piper, right? So that's amazing. So I've actually known, Christy and I've known Joe and Rebecca for a while. And in fairness, Joe, I actually asked Rebecca to send a picture along here. So Rebecca, why don't you introduce us to, hold on. But introduce us to your family, because there's a picture that we have here that,
Do I use this? So sitting on the armchair of the couch there is my daughter, Tristan. She's here today. She's almost 27. Sitting on the floor is my son, Tyson. He's 13. He's here. Sitting on the floor beside him is Piper. She's 10. And I'm in the middle. Then my daughter, Farron. She's 23 almost. And then my son, Stephen. He's almost 26. And then my other son down here, Connor. He's almost 27 also. He's not in the picture. He's my son-in-law to be.
Perfect. So when you sent this picture, I actually remember a picture of you when we first met. The first time we met, and it was at a picnic. So here's the picture I wanted to show you of that one. And Piper, I believe that you're in the picture as well. And this is the first time I met Rebecca, okay? So we actually had a picture. We actually were having a picnic at our other church, and we had a wonderful time. And here's Rebecca. I believe that was a boa constrictor. Is that right? That's on you. And there's Piper, the one you got. Okay. So in fairness, Joe, we didn't want to leave you out, right, of anything. So I actually had a picture of you too. I don't know if you remember this, but we had a baptism at our own church. At our old church, we used to meet in a movie theater. And so our baptisms would happen in a parking lot. So can I show that picture as well? There you go. So there's Joe. There's Rebecca and Joe. That's actually from 2016-ish, and that's with Christy. And do you remember the bandana you were wearing? It was so hot that day that you gave me your bandana so I would baptize some people. So thank you very, very much. And then a bonus picture, because we're into these pictures, to make sure that we're finding out a little bit, is that looks like this is what Rebecca sent, is a picture of you when you're 18 years old. Holy cow. You are a cute guy. No kidding. So I'm noticing hair. I'm also noticing the dimples. What do you think about that?
They're still there.
Okay. Okay, let's get going here. One more picture I wanted to show you, just to be fair to you, is that when I was 18, this is what I looked like.
Wow.
Holy cow, yes. Okay, forget it. I think we could be really, really good friends. Okay. Okay, tell us a little bit about yourselves, a bit about maybe what you guys are involved in career-wise, some hobbies, some things like that. One of you needs to go first. Yeah.
Dustin, yeah, one more. I work in the film industry in Toronto, part of ACTRA, the Actors Union, and part of IOC, the Crew Union. That's what I do for work.
And you work long hours these days. So
I work
you.
Long hours these days,
yeah. Super. Rebecca?
I own a photography business in Dundas.
Perfect. And what hobbies do you guys have? Tell a little bit about yourself.
Well, when we had time to spend together, we loved hiking, road tripping, riding our motorcycles together. Did I forget something?
Perfect.
Lots of hiking.
Okay, so where did you guys grow up? You know each other quite a while.
Sudbury.
You need to talk in the mic. There we go.
Sudbury.
Perfect. And how long have you guys known each other for?
35 years.
Holy cow, really?
Yeah. He was my first boyfriend
when I was 16. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't really like me to tell the story, but we met because his sister married my cousin.
Okay.
So his nieces and nephews are my cousins. And his younger sister dated my older brother, and that's actually how we met, because he was hanging around with my older brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so okay. 3 for 3. He does not like that story.
Well, now it's out in public, and it'll be on YouTube. There you go. Okay, so I know, out of respect for your, for some of your family members and some others that of the background that you've come out of, we're going to do our very best to tiptoe around some of this a little bit, if you don't mind. But you guys both grew up in a fairly high controlling, high demand, fear-based religious group. Is that safe to say? Okay, so I'm going to ask you, and you guys can go choose which one wants to answer either of these, or both, it's up to you. I think the religious group that you're part of, it's known for door-to-door witnessing. Okay, so here, we're just going to hit on a few of these topics first. So give us an idea, give us an understanding a little bit of why they do this door-to-door witnessing. I'll just leave it open at that to you, yeah.
Well, they believe that, you know, you got to spread the word, and that's their way of doing it, is knocking on people's doors, waking them up on Saturday mornings.
Okay.
Slammed in your face.
Do you?
Yeah.
And is that something that you had to do or you did in the past?
Yeah, they wanted you to get at least like a certain amount of hours that they thought were a good amount of hours for each, they called you publishers, to get. If you fell below those hours, you would get a talking to, or you could be marked as inactive if you didn't get enough time in service.
Okay, so is there some ideal number that you had to do, or how does that work?
Eight hours, right?
I remember 10, but yeah, in that ballpark.
Okay, a week?
A month.
A month?
Yeah, a month.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like a lot, but then when you're also, you know, school, and then you have 2 2-hour meetings, and then another meeting that's an hour, and then Saturdays is service, and then you have to study, and it's a lot.
Okay.
Like when you work and you got school. And
it was a Saturday morning thing, so while you guys are watching cartoons on Saturday mornings, we were getting dressed up as toddlers and knocking on doors.
Interesting.
It was a little mortifying sometimes when you knock on the door and somebody you go to school with is there, and you're like,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Another area is that they talk a lot about Armageddon. Now, Joe, you and I have talked a little bit about this. Do you have anything to share with everybody about why? What's with Armageddon?
Well, we're taught that Armageddon was imminent, like growing up as a boy, that it could come anytime. They had a date of 1914 that was part of their doctrine, and everybody that was alive in 1914 was going to see the day Armageddon came. So I would hear often as a boy, you'll never have time to finish school. Don't worry about going to college or university, because Armageddon will be here before then. I know it's hard to believe, I'm 53, still hasn't come. But yeah, it was always looming over your head that Armageddon was going to come at any time.
So you touched on one of my other questions, and that was this idea of higher education. So does that, they don't believe in higher education, or you shouldn't be part of higher education?
It was, well, especially my parents, it was a no-no. It was going to be a waste of time, because Armageddon was going to be here, and I should focus on the faith more.
Okay.
And of course, it's, you know, it made things difficult, because when you don't have an education in this world, it's harder to make money. But yeah, it was a little bit of a sore point with me when I look back. I wanted to keep going to school, but it was strongly discouraged. It was going to be a waste of time. Armageddon was going to be here.
Okay, wow.
And they wanted the women to, once they finished high school, to go out into the pioneer work. So it's like getting 60, 70 hours in service instead of going and getting like a career.
The pioneer work?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. And now you and I also talked about when you were in school as a child, you weren't allowed to join groups. Is that right? Like any outside groups?
Yeah,
or no. So you went to a public school?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to do like extracurricular activities, like join teams or like I really love to play basketball, and I tried out for the basketball team behind my parents' back, and I made the team. But then I asked my parents if I could join, and of course they said no. And then I told the coach like I couldn't join the team. So then the coach called my mom, and he said, "Well, she's really good. Like, do you mind if she just like for this one time?" And my mom said no, and I couldn't join.
Wow. Yeah. Really? So is that something that is okay, would some families be allowed to join and other families not? Or if you, like, how does that work?
Yeah, we were actually talking about that last night, where some parents weren't as strict, and they would kind of let their kids join some things, but then not others. And then his parents were very strict, and my parents were very strict. It was like, no, like, you could not join, hang around with kids at school. All that was no.
Huh.
Yeah.
The thought process behind it was that it was only members of this organization that were going to walk into paradise.
Okay.
And that everybody else was worldly association and would take you away from that faith. So it was to monitor who you hung out with.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They called them bad association.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, okay. Now, are you allowed to celebrate like holidays or special days, like Mother's Day, Valentine?
No, nothing none? Except for anniversaries.
Okay, so why is that?
I remember it was all from being told it was all from pagan origins.
Okay.
So none of it, no Christmas, no Halloween, no.
No birthdays.
How about Halloween?
How about Halloween? No, no.
How about Halloween, Joe?
We still kind of have a little bit of problem with Halloween.
Tell us a story. Tell everybody a story. When we entered, you were coming to our church here at Westside, and we actually offer our doors open on Halloween, right, for all the kids in the neighborhood to come in. How was that when you heard that?
Well, I mean, Halloween's not my... I was brought up, it was bad. And, I mean, I still have a little bit of a problem with it, just because it seems to be mostly about, you know, what do you associate Halloween with?
Devils.
Devils, yeah. Witches, goblins, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't have any... I mean, I don't have any... beliefs that are with the way I brought up, that mm-hmm. in particular is one thing that kind of just stuck with me.
Yeah. I just remember when we were talking, that was like one that you're like, what? You guys open your doors at Halloween? And I remember it being something. So I'm not sure we celebrate it, but what we do is we try and make sure our doors are open to be invitational to our community. Yeah, so we've chatted with that. What about Christmas and Easter?
Well, I think most people know it's not actually Jesus' birthday.
Okay.
So they didn't celebrate Christmas and okay. Easter. They celebrated like a Passover. They didn't do like bunnies and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing we were going back and forth about was dress code, because there seems to be something more recent that they're loosening up a dress code. Is that right? So what's the typical dress code and what's the loosening up?
Well,
of that?
It's modest wear. Like women wear loose like dresses, skirts below their knee. Above the knee was a no-no. My mom would go through my closet, and if this was above the knee, it goes in the garbage.
Oh, wow.
Men were not allowed to have beards. So Joe wouldn't be able to go right now if he wanted to. Actually, no, you would be. They've changed that. So men weren't allowed to wear beards. They had to wear ties and dress suits, like, which is not horrible. But they've changed that now, and men can now wear beards just within the last few months, I think. And women can wear pants, and the men don't have to wear ties anymore.
Okay, interesting. How'd you like that, Joe?
Oh, I hated wearing a tie when I was a kid, obviously. But
and he always had a beard, and he'd have to shave it for the assemblies.
Yeah, I remember as a little kid, I wanted to or as a teenager, pardon me, I wanted to grow my hair and have longer hair. As it turns out, you know, like my parents gave me a hard time about it, but as it, you know, they should have just let me enjoy my hair while I had it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it was
yeah,
a
yeah.
big deal.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway.
So there's a lot of rules. Okay, so who sets the rules? And the reason why I say that is like, who sets the rules, and then who's the ones that are able to change those rules as you go along?
Yeah, it's the governing body.
It's the governing body. They call themselves the faithful and discreet slave.
The what, sorry? The
faithful and discreet slave.
Okay.
You're not allowed to question anything. You can't disagree with their doctrines. Otherwise, that's apostasy. And you would be excommunicated. They call it disfellowshipping.
And they create their own doctrines. They create them. They make the books, the magazines. All your publication is made by them on their views of the Bible. And you have to only study their publications. You can't study anybody else's.
Okay.
Or learn about other... You can learn about other religions, I guess, but you can't study them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were mentioning shunning or disfellowshipped, or shunning, maybe a lot of us know this, is... So how long have you now been out for?
20 years.
Okay. Have you been disfellowshipped or shunned?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us more about that and how
it's
is
fun.
That? It's what?
It's fun. It's hard. It was really hard because when you grow up, and we're both born and raised Jehovah's Witnesses, and they kind of keep you like in this bubble. There you go.
Yeah, I know.
They kind of keep you in this bubble where you can't hang around with anybody that's not not with work, school. You kind of have to keep yourself separate from everybody. So everyone that you know is that religion. So then when you leave, you're now like shut off from everybody. And then and they make announcements and they say like, so, like, Rebecca has been disfellowshipped from the Christian congregation, and that now nobody is allowed to talk to her or associate with her, including your family, like my parents, my sisters, cousins, like everybody, and my whole family, because we're generations of this religion. It was the majority of my family and all of my friends.
So how long have you been in contact with your family and friends, or?
No.
In 20 years?
So it's been about 18 years. Like my parents before, they would, like if my kids were there visiting, they'd say hi on FaceTime or whatever. But it's been about 8 years with like no contact.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Joe?
And, I've been excommunicated most of my life, most of my adult life. So there's members of my family that won't speak to me. My parents have passed, so I mean, they can't speak to me, couldn't speak to me anyway, but yeah, there's siblings of mine that won't speak to me.
Okay. Now, recently, some of this has changed as well. Is that right? Like, what's the most recent nuance that's happened within this religion?
Well, they called it a loving change, and they are now allowing you to say hi to a disfellowship person.
So the religion itself is saying...
Yeah,
that they
the
can
governing
say,
body has made these loving changes. And okay. Instead of ignoring them, now you can say hi to them.
Okay.
What was the other thing? I guess also there was one that if you wanted to, again, study with them, that you didn't have to get reinstated first to have a study, that you could study with them if you wanted... even while you're disfellowshipped. This is my understanding anyways.
Okay. Is that what yours is too, Joe, with that? So have people reached out to you since this change has happened?
My father reached out to me just to invite me to the Passover and said that don't worry about how you're viewed, that things have changed. So I asked him, like, well, do you want to get together for a coffee and we can chat about, like, what's changed? And he said, oh, you can just watch this video. And that's it. That's okay. All I heard.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So Joe, you answer this question. Do you think that religious system is, and I don't want to use the term brainwashing, but is it a manipulative kind of brainwashing so these people that are in it are just don't have it, like for them to move forward and find some freedom, that they're just really stuck? Like, what is it?
Yeah, I would, my experience was it was brainwashing. It took a long time for me to come out of it, even though I was excommunicated. I still had that looming over my head all the time that, you know, Armageddon's going to come at any moment, and I ain't going to make it. And it took a long, long, wasn't until I started doing some of my own research, even though, again, I wasn't part of that faith anymore. I still believed it.
Yeah.
And it took a long process of coming to realize that no, this doesn't make sense here.
How long have you been out? I didn't ask you that.
How long have I been out? I got excommunicated when I was 19.
Okay.
But I mean, I have family members that are still in it. My oldest son is a minister in that faith.
Okay.
So I don't, you know, there's a lot of good people in there that mm-hmm. are just, they think that they're serving God the best way. Like, I just look at them as misled. They're not bad people.
Yep.
They're just, they just don't know any better.
Yeah.
But when you get excommunicated or you get shunned like he did, you can still go to the meetings and to the assemblies, and he did for quite a 20-something years. He was going, but they just don't talk to you. So you could show up at a setting like this, and you sit in the back. Nobody will talk to you. Nobody will say hi to you, and then you leave. Okay. And so he was doing that.
For 20 years?
Yeah.
I wasn't a regular, but I mean, I had children, and, okay. you know, yeah. I was trying to, I thought it was good for them to, yeah. you know, grow up and yeah. learn about God, and,
yeah.
and yeah, so I went. Nobody talked to me.
That's why he's a quiet guy. He's just used to not being talked to.
Nobody start.
Okay, so let's, I know that there's so much in this story, but how did, give us a bit of an idea of each of your journeys of following Jesus to where you're at today.
The woman started.
You
either one.
Yeah.
Well, when I started doing a lot of research in this faith, I kind of lost faith in everything. And I mean, I figured, I knew there had to be something up there, you know. But yeah, it was a journey where I didn't necessarily believe in the Bible. I didn't necessarily believe in Jesus. I struggled with everything, and I think I shared my story on the baptism when I got baptized. So I won't make you listen to it again. But you know, I just wanted to be on the right side, and I started going to some churches. I had come to West Side before. I had a big experience here, and now I'm convinced. And one thing, you know, if I can just go on for a second, Dave was talking, I don't know, a couple of months back about there's three kinds of churches. One is where everybody has to fit inside a box, and that's the way we grew up. The second one was, you know, anything goes, Jesus loves you just the way you are, you don't have to change a thing. And then the third one, which West Side is Jesus is the focus.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't until I started coming here and Jesus is being the focus where you actually are so genuinely motivated to make changes in your life, you know, to please Jesus. Whereas before, in the one where everybody's got to fit in the box, you become so... Everybody's concentrating on those rules.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if the church you're going to, the main focus is Jesus, you're just genuinely motivated to be better.
It's beautiful. Amazing. We should stop there. Right? We will wind down now for the sake of this, but Rebecca, do you have any comments just for everybody in terms of words of encouragement or just some thoughts about? Sure.
You wanna... I did have some. So you're in our experience, like our relationship with God depended on our how well we behaved in an organization, and our relationship with him was through this organization, and it was almost like you had to behave in this certain way to get God's acceptance, and it has to go through us. And for people that are dealing with strict religions and that, your relationship is strictly with God. Like, you answer to him, and you answer to him only. You don't have to go through, John to have a relationship with God.
Yeah, that's right.
it's strictly with him. And that's been my experience and how I've found God and his real love and his real grace is by speaking with him directly.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's good. See, the time went fast.
Yeah.
I know. Guys, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I hope that as we are part of your family, we can support you and encourage you. And guys, I hope you get to know these guys. They're amazing, amazing people. So can you, like, let's browse them, whatever. I'm going to give you thoughts, yeah. I'm just going to give you a few thoughts, and then we'll finish in a closing song. There's two versions of what I was going to say. I think I'm going to go the first one. Let's do this. Let's read from Scripture, and then I'm going to share a few thoughts with you. And this is from Galatians chapter 5. So if you have it with you, life groups is going to be great for you this week because I did some questions, and you're going to get a chance to go through all of Galatians chapter 5. And so this is what it says. It says this. So Christ has truly set us free. This is from verse 1. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this, that if you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again, if you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is that is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It is certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole bunch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, whoever has been confusing you. Actually, let me just stop there. That's good. Is that where we are? Where are we? Do you have more on there? Dear brothers, is that on there? Sorry, guys. I've got different things here. If I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some of you say I do, then why am I still being persecuted? If you were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Tough to find a passage to follow up on what we've learned today. But here's what's interesting, is that if you read Galatians 5 and you read it carefully, you'll find that this whole idea of circumcision actually is about rules. It's about these ideas of limits, restrictions. It's kind of like that thing that keeps us away from freedom. And I don't know. I think that when it comes to religion and it comes to people, we try and control. And this is a story that we've heard today, where which I think is a lot like a lot of us who might not have been part of this religious group, but maybe this is part of your background, where this idea of rules and regulations and quite frankly, being held back from that freedom that maybe you even feel through God's Spirit just wasn't there. So what I'd like to say is this, and is that I believe there is a pathway to freedom. And here's a little chart that I put together, is that you need to understand the reality of where you're at. And if you're feeling as if you are or have been, or maybe you know somebody that's been part of where power and control and manipulation, that's basically what this passage talks about in terms of this circumcision, is that that is not what God intended. But you know, to find that freedom, sometimes we need to move on. But by moving on and getting out of something that's so controlling, it's actually you find there's grief. You find that there's this ambivalence, and you actually can become angry. That is actually part of the pathway to finding this new beginning. And then finally, and I'm hoping that that's what we heard today, is that there's opportunity to find healing. And in healing, you find that hope. There is something different. There is something different spiritually. And then you begin to trust. And then you find freedom. So at the end of Galatians chapter 5, I'd like to leave with you this. Is that I'm just going to read this, but if we know people that are going through this pathway, and we need to support them, I believe there's one thing that we can do, and that one thing is completely wrapped up in this thing called love. We just need to love. Now, what do we mean by love? There's actually a checklist to love, and we're going to get there in a second, but I'm going to read it from Galatians 5 before we finish, and it says this. Starting at verse 18, "But when you are directed by God's Spirit, you are not under obligation to this law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, this is what happens. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit God's kingdom. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." So here, if you need a checklist for what it is to love somebody, it's pretty easy. The checklist is exactly what we read in Galatians 5, and that would be the fruit of the Spirit. This idea of love and joy and peace and patience. People, if we want to support somebody, we need to have patience, okay? Patience is very, very important. We need to be kind, need to be good, faithful, gentle, and full of self-control. I promise you that if we are truly to live, to help other people, we can't do it on our own. We need to have God's Spirit living with us. And I don't care what kind of healing people need, that's the kind of people that we as God's children need to be. We're about to sing a song, if the band comes up. And this song has these words in it. And I found this very interesting. And it says this, and I believe it fits perfectly today. It says, "Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave the past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love." What a beautiful, beautiful song that we have a chance to sing today. Let me pray, and then the band is going to lead us. Father, I thank you so much for an opportunity that we had today to listen to your children. Father, I thank you that we had a chance to just eavesdrop on a conversation where we can witness that we have seen that they have found healing in only the love that you have given us through your son, Jesus. Father, I thank you that there is always a pathway to hope. There's opportunity to rebuild trust. And Father, for the way that we can find freedom, absolute freedom because of you, we're so thankful for that. And so, Father, today I pray that each one of us, whether we're going through a journey where we need to find this hope, trust, and freedom, or where we can be a catalyst of your love through God's Spirit, Father, make all of us be instruments for you. And Father, we just want to say how much we love you, but it's only because of how much you loved us in the first place. Amen.